The strongest thing in the world is gentleness. This is Thought for Today. Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California. The strongest thing in the world is gentleness. Now, we all have a tendency to think that's true. That gentleness is strong and powerful. And we had the Jolly Green Giant, you know, oh so strong and oh so gentle. Oh so tough and oh so gentle, that when it was on the paper towel type of thing and what have you. The strongest thing in the world is gentleness. But you see, gentleness is not permissiveness. Gentleness is not do what you damn please sort of thing, you know. Gentleness does not even enter into that. It doesn't enter into your mother is so gentle, she always lets you do what you want to do. Well, that's not gentle. Your mother is so irresponsible, she always lets you do. Irresponsible? My mother's a good mother. If she lets you do anything you want to do, she is not a responsible mother who makes sure that you learn the values of life and follow those things that she feels are valuable. You know? Well, we want to equate gentleness where we want to equate it, and it doesn't exist there. Gentleness means the manner in which we do anything. If we're going to teach, and we teach gently, that's sometimes very subtly, we are still teaching. Oh, isn't the door open for the dogs? How did that happen? The door didn't get open for the dogs, Ellen. Did you bring him up? Ellen? Go open the door for the dogs. Thank you very much. Now, Sylvia went open over there and opened the door for the dogs, but that was Ellen's responsibility because Ellen brought the dogs up with her, and she should make sure that they have access in this house to go out to do their duty or to do other things that they want to do outside, like talk to the cats and things like that, you know. And if they can't do that, then they might as well just stay down at the embassy where the door is always open for them. And that's a beautiful thing. Now, I could say, Ellen, get your big fat butt over there and open that door for that dog. Don't you know that that's blah, 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 blah. Now, would you call that gentleness? You'd call that very forceful, wouldn't you? And you'd call it somewhat negative. But now, I said, Ellen, go open the door for the dogs. That was a gentle statement. It was a definite statement. It was a statement of responsibility. It was a statement of command, you might say, but it was a gentle response. And Ellen may have thought, you didn't have to use me in this discussion here. I mean, it's bad enough that I forgot to open the door for the dogs, and then now you bring it up for the whole world to know about. And yes, it's true. But you see, if we are reminded gently to do these things, and then we are reminded to do them again and again, then we sometimes learn. But if we are just told to do it and are not made to do it at the time, then we don't learn. We were watching the Emperor's Club. It was a nice movie. And in the movie, the young man was running across the lawn, and the teacher called him to him, and he said, what is this here? He said, that's a sidewalk. And the teacher says, well, the great men of history have walked this sidewalk, and it's a good thing to use the sidewalk, you know, not run across the grass. And that's all he said. Well, now, do you think that youngster remembered that? Oh my, yes, he remembered it. Now, the teacher could have hollered at him, get off the grass, what's the matter with you? Have you got brains in your head? And what would happen to the kid? He would immediately rebel against the teacher. He would immediately run across that grass every chance he got when he thought he wasn't being observed, because he wanted to do it his way. But when the teacher approached it with the gentleness of telling him that the great men of history have walked on the sidewalk here, and he should walk their path. And it was a beautiful thing to do. And he was right, because having attended that school were many of the great leaders of the American government and the American scene. because it was a school for outstanding students who come from outstanding parents who, unfortunately, can buy their way into anything they want. Now, you heard that. They are moneyed people. They are leaders of society and what have you, and they can buy their way into anything they want to buy their way into. And they do. They do. If someone were to come here to the University of Healing and offer us $1 million, we would certainly be very nice to them, wouldn't we? We'd think that's a very lovely thing to do. And then if they asked for some special privileges, we would, yes, we would offer them any special privilege they wanted that we would normally offer to anybody else. Mm. You see, if they think they're getting something special from us because we're being nice to them, but we're nice to everybody. We have the most poverty-stricken people in the world come up here, the most ill people in the world. They don't stay that way when they get here, but they come here with that attitude of mind, and we treat them just like they are the prince and princess of the universe. We treat them like they are whole and perfect. We treat them like they are wealthy. Now, we're not doing that because we want something from them. We're doing that because we see who they really are. And when wealthy people come up here, or healthy people, many of both come up often, we don't treat them special because they come up in their big limousine. We say, take off your shoes when you come in the house. But I am Mr. So-and-so. Well, this is our house, and you're very welcome here, and we love you, but take off your shoes, you know? But I'm, Bob, hey, leave your shoes on. We tell them three times to take them off. If they won't take them off three times, then we say, leave them on. That's no problem, no problem. Just do it as you wish. But you see, they have lost the greatest blessing that they could have, because we were very gentle in saying it three times. We're gentle in saying things three times. And then if they don't do it after three times, there's no lesson to be learned anymore. What is to be learned then is to take a big club and hit them over the head. And that's no way to learn either, is it? I notice none of you are shaking your heads yes or no. But you see, that's no way to learn either. So the method that we use here in the monastery is gentleness. Pure gentleness. And you say, well, you shout at me. Yes, I shout at you after I told you three times, or maybe even four or five times, something I want you to pay attention to. And then I realize that I haven't gotten your attention in the first place, and so that wasn't kind of me to expect you to act on something I didn't have your attention for. And why don't I have your attention sometimes? Because sometimes you're just off on another cloud. Sometimes you're thinking, well, like Ingeborg. When Ingeborg eats at the table, she has such lovely concentration on her eating that every little morsel of food she picks up, she knows it frontwards and backwards and upside down and inside out, and she thoroughly enjoys it. And that's lovely. Except she doesn't enter into the conversation with the rest of it. I say, Ingeborg, and I'm passing her some bread. I say, Ingeborg, passing her some bread. And I say, Ingeborg! She looks up at me with a startle from the beautiful food she's been eating. Oh, yeah, what? What? Would you like a piece of bread? No. Well, then pass it on. Okay. And we get so closed up in our own little world and that we forget that we're not here to live in our own little world. We are here in our own time to live in our world, in our meditation time and in our introspection time. But in our other time, we are a group. We are a team. We are an organization. We are not a bunch of individuals going around doing what they damn please. And there is no place in the world where that exists except in heaven. And heaven is when you are in your own state of consciousness and you are not aware of another being in the universe. Now, can that happen? Sure. Where can that happen? Right now, anyplace. Can you be in a group of people and have it happen? Yes, but the thing is, if you are, then the people don't know you're there. You see, they don't intrude upon you because they don't know you're there. You say, well, how can that be? people wouldn't know I was there. Well, I think every one of you have lived long enough, at least these past 25 years, you've lived long enough to realize that you have gone to many places where nobody noticed you were there. You have been observant, you know, you have opened your eyes and you looked around the room and you see a lot of wallflowers. You know what wallflowers are? Wallflowers are people who don't think they're worth anything and don't think that anyone should pay any attention to them. They sit in the corner, you know, they sit in the dark area. They don't want people to see that they're there. Why they come in the first place is interesting, but they don't want people to know. But then when some beautiful person comes along and says, hey, come on out in the light. Come and have some sandwiches with me. Hey, I want you to meet a couple of people here. Oh, no, no, not me. But come. They're nice, you know. And you get them out of their little wallflower cocoon, and you find, hey, they're pretty nice people. But some people are very successful. They stay hidden the entire event, and they're in there in their little cocoon. Nobody notices them. Nobody thinks about them. Or they might go in the bathroom, lock the door. And in the middle of a big party, you know, they lock the door of the bathroom. And that's okay. The bathroom probably has several stalls anyhow. But they want to be themselves. They want to be invisible. Now, that's okay. That's okay. You say, well, that's okay. What do you mean that's okay? It's not acceptable. Well, from your point of view, yes. But from their point of view, it's okay. So, now, they're doing their thing. And you don't even know they're there. You see, we can be in this world and not of the world. We can be invisible to it. We can live in our perfect gentleness if we want. Now, it doesn't mean that we have to be hiding in the closet, you know. It doesn't mean that we have to be there but not be seen. We are not seen because we are not involving ourselves in the community that we're with. There are, they say you should involve yourself in community activities. You should be active in your community. You should be helping with the Boy Scouts and with the Teacher's Aid and with the various things that they do. And get with the Lions and Rotary and Kiwanis Clubs and things. Well, now, there are the majority of the people in the community who are not in those clubs. If they were all in those clubs would be quite busy. They could not have it in just the small room that they have it in. They'd have to have it in the large hall, you know, somewhere. But there's only a few who get involved. The rest of the people in the community are invisible. You don't even know they're there. Mm-hmm. So, you see, we can live in an invisible world. And we do. And it's wonderful. But the strongest thing in the world is gentleness. And if we are gentle with people, the gentle teacher is the teacher that is beloved by her students. Strong, but also gentle. Gentle doesn't mean to be weak. It doesn't mean to be permissive. It doesn't mean to allow people to walk over you. It merely means that you are a gentle, loving person, and you do not create that in your world. You just create gentleness in your world. You just create respect and honor and love and joy and peace and harmony and goodness in your world. But this cannot be done if you have no principle, if you have no integrity, if you have no desire to live what you want. We watched a movie, The Emperor's Club, last night. A pleasant movie, very pleasant. Nicely done. That was The Emperor's Club, right?
Yeah.
And as we watched this movie, we were just enchanted with the way the teacher was teaching the people. Teaching the young boys, junior high, maybe senior, about how to have integrity, how to be honest, how to learn principle, how to study Socrates, Plato, and the other greats, to learn how to have values in life and how to be a significant contribution to the world by your mental attitude and by the way you live and think and act. And we were just enchanted. And then little flaws came up. Little flaws of one of the students terribly cheating. And the teacher knew he was cheating and told the head of the school that he was cheating. But the head of the school says, ignore it. Now, the head of the school said ignore it because the boy's father was very wealthy and very significant, and so he didn't want to offend him. Now, is that how we do things? All right, that's fine. You see, this is the big thing. This is the big thing in our life. For what reason are we doing anything? Are we doing things because it is right? Are we doing things because we stand up for what we believe? If someone wanted to shoot you in the head and ask you to do a simple thing like quit a job or something like that, what would you do? You'd say, I'll quit. Hey, I want to live. I don't need to get shot. Could you say, no, I don't quit this way. I know who I am. Well, that's just fine. Bang, now you're dead. That's fine. You see, how do you know? How do you really know for what purpose you're living in this life? How do you really know? Perhaps the reason you're living in this life is to stand up one time for principle, in which you endanger yourself, you endanger many other things, but you stand up for principle. Maybe that one thing is what you expected, or maybe that was the beginning of other things that were coming your way. For the truly great one, that you have to stand up for principle when it is something so horrendous that nobody could do it. We use Jesus as a good example. They said, Jesus, you want to be the king of the Jews. He said, so you say. He said, so you say. You see, in all honesty, we have to look at Jesus a little differently. Because Jesus knew his program. He knew that he was going to be crucified. He knew these things were coming. So he really is not a good example for us. Because if you know that's your show, that's your scene, and you stay with it, that's not honorable, but that is responsible. Okay, now, let's give a few other illustrations here. You are a mother, and you are to raise your children with integrity, with honesty, with purity, with principle, with sincerity. And you tell the children, tell the man at the door, I'm not home. You know, don't ever tell anybody that the mother or father are not home, that some responsible adult is not home, because that person may well come into the house and push over the kid and do what he wants to do. You know, you don't do that. You're jeopardizing everything by just not having the desire to answer the door yourself. You understand me? Mm-hmm. Now, that seems so subtle and so unreal, but unreal. Don't kid yourself. That's what parents do all the time. Mm-hmm. Parents should have an answering device on their telephone, and the answering device would say, I'm busy at the moment. Please leave your name and number, and when I come in, when I'm free, I will call you back. And that way, and then the child lets it ring, lets it do, and then if it's mommy, she'll say, sweetheart, it's mommy, pick up the phone now. So the child picks up the phone and talks to mommy. But if it's not mommy, then he leaves the phone alone. He doesn't answer the phone. He doesn't put himself in harm's way by saying that he is a child alone in the house, you know. And how many parents think that? Mm-hmm. How many parents think that? And this is ugly. It is child mistreatment to the greatest degree, because you're teaching the children to have no responsibility in this. Now, you shouldn't leave the children alone at the house anyhow, but if you do, and that they're old enough to be left alone, they should know these rules. But it is a simple thing to be so gentle and yet so strong, to say to your children, no, I don't want you to go to that show tonight. Or to say to them, I don't like that show. Or to say to them, we will go to a show another time. Or to say to them, no. Punct. Period. No. Now, Do you have the courage to say that without having the children get back on your back and say, wah, 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 wah? This is part of the response. It's a gentleness in dealing with them. And what do children usually say? I can get around mom, but when pop says no, that's no. Why don't they say, when mom says no, that's no? Because mom is a wheedler, you know, she's letting people wheedle around them and to push around, and or papa, you know, it could be either way. And that's a silly thing. But gentleness is where you don't allow anything to walk in the way, and you don't strong arm your way to accomplish it. You're just gentle and say, no, thank you. Or yes, thank you. Or whatever. I always say yes. And I think that that's an easier way to do it, just to say yes and do as you wish. Would you like another drink? Yes, thank you. Then you just set it there and leave it there. Hey, you didn't drink your drink. I know, you gave it to me, thank you. It was mine to choose to drink or not to drink, you know. But why did you take it for if you didn't want it? Because you offered it. Would you always take everything you're offered? Certainly. You got $1 million you want to offer? But no, we take it, and we don't have to use it. You see, we don't have to use it, and we can even give it away if we wish. Mm-hmm. But we always accept. And when you always accept, and because you're a good person, you know, it'll always be good. When you always accept, no one will ever offer you anything contrary to your highest good. You follow me? You put the cause in motion, and then you have it. But that's a very gentle way of looking at it. Very strong, very powerful. But this is really how it works. But think on these things. They give you a little bit of area to think on, and it's a terrible, wonderful thing. When we can teach ourselves to stand up for principle, teach our family to stand up for principle, teach our world to stand up for principle. And standing up for principle isn't doing what other people say always. It's doing what you say and what you know to be the truth. So, my loves, the strongest thing in the world is gentleness. Be gentle. I love you. I love you. I love you.